Volatility, volatility, volatility. Oil this morning could break through $80 a barrel. That's unbelievable. Yesterday, at one point, the VIX index of volatility was up 35%. That's in one trading session. The levels of volatility in the market seem to defy what traders up until now would have believed humanly possible. 500-point drops. Yesterday's 400-point fall in the Dow Jones index. The more than 5% sell-off in the NASDAQ. An 800-point move last week during a single trading session. We hear a lot about reactions to predictions of recession in the U.S. and Europe, debt concerns everywhere in the world, and these are factors in the global markets. But what if the human or inhuman volatility is extreme for a much simpler reason? Because it's not human. Because the markets are dominated by machines these days. Joining us now is John O'Donohue, head of equities at Cowen and Company, an investment banking and brokerage business headquartered right here in New York. John, good morning.
Good morning, John.
John, is it possible for us to have a civilized and informative discussion about program trading and computers on Wall Street without sounding, in fact, like robots ourselves?
Yeah, actually it is.
All right,
I think the issue that we've seen exacerbated in the last couple of weeks, as you mentioned, about the volatility is driven not only by program trading, by lots of other extraneous factors that we can talk about if you'd like to this morning.
Well, let's first just get a sense of the impact of machines. When I watch the indices, during the course of the day on one of the financial networks, mm-hmm. how much of what I'm seeing in individual swings relates to formulas that have been worked out for machines that swing the market independent of human intervention almost?
Well, part of it is, I mean, I think if you were to step back and look at the constituencies that make up either the trading community or the investment community, they are a whole myriad of things, and it ranges from the very mundane sort of long-only mutual fund complexes, a lot of whom we see advertised all over the place, to the highly sophisticated, high-frequency trading operations that sit in, black boxes, so to speak. So there are times when one investment or one trading vehicle may be more effective than others. And in times like this where you've got a lot of uncertainty and when you've got a lot of either rumors in the market, the ability for fast action, so to speak, is one that pays off a lot better. If you look back as to the period of time probably in the last 6 months prior to a lot of these sort of extraneous financial shocks, high-frequency trading and program trading as tactics have not done very well at all. So it does tend to move depending on how the market plays out. So at this particular time, high-frequency trading, and what I would also say is another thing, another product is in the marketplace, which are these double-weighted and triple-weighted ETFs, which we
it's an exchange-traded fund. Let me just do the acronym alert here.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exchange-traded funds, yeah.
We're speaking with John O'Donohue, head of equities at Cowen and Company. And one of the reasons that people are blaming computers, John, is for exactly the reason that they can actually do a lot more trades and they can analyze data much faster, which can create volatility simply because stocks are being bought and sold at an incredible rate of speed. But we also acknowledge that computer trading isn't going anywhere, and if that means more volatility, maybe we just simply need to come up with a system that handles volatility without panicking.
Well, that's true in the real in the world of the perfect, I presume, but the issue that you have here is that markets are actually a reflection of psychology, and they're a reflection of either people's fear or people's feeling better. And that could be people feeling better over the period of the next 3 to 6 months or people's fear that the world's about to fall apart in 2 days.
Although, John, that's balanced by a machine's presumption of what the psychology is. You mentioned the exchange-traded funds a moment ago, and that's a really interesting example here because you've got the stocks themselves, which are really the companies, right?
That's correct. That's what makes up an ETF. Yes.
Exactly.
An ETF is just a basket of companies.
Right. But the stock is a real thing, and then a human being sort of relationship to the stock based on, looking at an earnings report, that has a psychological dimension. But by the time you get to an exchange-traded fund, it actually acts more like a computer in that it is a complicated formula that takes a basket of stocks, monitors the sort of way that they move, and then creates a number that is supposed to be an average of all those stocks, right?
Well, it is. It is in the sense that a mean, a lot of your listeners would know what the spiders are. You've seen them advertised all over TV. SPY is just an amalgamation of the 500 stocks that make up the S&P. There's no weighting to that. So if you want to have exposure, if you think the stock market's going up, you would buy a spider. If you think it's going down, you would sell it. The problem that we've, I think, exacerbated here towards the end of the day are these what I would call double and triple weighted ETFs. And they have a very strange effect on the marketplace, especially at the end of the day, in that they exhibit a thing that's called convexity. And I don't want to get into details about that, but it's a very sort of, it creates this this effect in the marketplace where if, say, for example, you've got a triple weighted ETF, a long ETF. As the market goes higher, it has to buy more because it has to be triple weighted what it says it is. And as you get these moves towards the end of the day, whether they be to the upside or the downside, the move in the last 15 minutes tends to be exaggerated because of these vehicles in the marketplace.
Because they have to satisfy
their pre-existing they have to buy more. Yes,
right,
exactly.
Their pre-existing formulas. All right, then before we go, noting as we did sort of at the top of the program that a computer doesn't really distinguish between the number 400 and 4,000 or an 800-point move or an 80,000-point move. It's all numbers to the computer. Is there some combination of events that is fundamentally unpredictable here that could produce some sort of machine-engendered catastrophe that we're all kind of vulnerable to?
Well, if you remember back to May 6th of last year, we had the flash crash.
Right.
And after the flash crash, the exchanges got together, lobbied by a lot of advisory bodies, of which I'm on the board of one. But we have now put in place what I would call our very specific stopgaps in place. So when a stock drops 10% or when certain indexes drop by a certain amount, they stop trading.
So you can unplug Hal.
We unplug because we unplug for at least 3 minutes until the world takes its breath back and figures out how to do that.
All right. So John O'Donohue there telling us that we do have pod bay doors and we can get Hal to open it if we get into some real problems there on the market. Are you going to have a good day today, John? Actually, don't answer that question.
I hope so. Today's option expiration, so it could exhibit some volatility. But my own thoughts are here that, you know, we're just repricing the market for earnings in a much slower growth environment. And, you know, we'll retest the old low fairly here soon here. But I'm relatively sanguine.
Good luck to you. John O'Donohue is head of equities at Cowen & Company, an investment banking firm in New York.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.